Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There is our Milwaukee baseball insider from Brewers.com, MLB.com on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. How are you this afternoon, Adam McKelvey?
Oh, just great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Earlier, we were discussing how we would stack up a playoff rotation, because that's what sports talk radio shows do this time of year with a contending baseball team. But if I'm not mistaken, didn't Craig Counsell recently juggle the rotation and reshuffle it, and he did it in preparation for the playoffs? Isn't that something that he did recently, Adam?
Yeah, they moved Chacin to pitch Sunday against the Pirates at Miller Park, and then Miley pitched against the Reds. And the reason for that was then it made Chacin an option to pitch a potential wild card game, because otherwise he would have – his last regular season start or a start next week would have coincided with that off day. So it just put him on a better line. Now, there was also regular season implications for that. Miley has pitched great against the Reds, and it gave him a start against Cincinnati. And then it put Chacin in the Cardinals series, which historically has been a bad matchup for him. But remember last time he won that game in St. Louis, and he had that great quote about how they won a day game and he won a game against St. Louis. So now anything is possible. So maybe they're going to ride that hot hand, and they just like the way that looked better. But look, the bottom line was it did line him up to pitch a potential wild card game. And then, you know, if they're fortunate to go beyond that, it would be Probably Miley in game one of a playoff series.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to ask then. With what you just laid out, is it fair to get out the jump to conclusions, Matt, Adam, and assume that it will be Jolys Chacin in a one-game wild card, should that be the case, and then Wade Miley for game one of a divisional playoff series?
The jump to conclusions, Matt. That's patented. You better be careful.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, no, I think that is that's very logical. And then, you know, I this isn't maybe going to be very popular. Fans seem to be down on Chase Anderson, but I think it would be probably Chase Anderson after that. Then you'd get Chacin in a game three, the way the days work out. I think game three would be on Sunday after the wildcard game on Tuesday, if I'm thinking of my days correctly. And then you'd have a decision to make after that. So that's kind of how I see it. And, you know, it's the same old discussion we've had a bunch on paper. You know, in a best of five division series, Wade Miley, Chase Anderson, and Jolys Chacin are not the names that you might expect to see in that sort of a, charged atmosphere. But the Brewers have gotten to where they are by sort of rolling out guys who are getting the job done without a lot of fanfare, without a lot of 7- and 8-inning starts. It's a lot of brief starts, then go to that good bullpen. And I think that they, you know, sometimes I feel like maybe we're too hung up on the names and not paying enough attention to what they've actually done in terms of performance.
Exactly.
Kept them in games and given them a chance to win.
And that's why Chase shouldn't be in the playoff rotation. But
But when you step back and sort of, you know, the home runs stand out, but then we've talked about this a lot of, you know, so many of them are solo home runs. A lot of his numbers are fine. I mean, he's kept them in games.
I don't know. For me, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again after last, I just reaffirmed that Gio Gonzalez is in this rotation, Chase isn't. And I've got an out-of-box idea for you, too, and they won't do it. But an out-of-box idea, if you end up in this wild card game anyhow, in order to get me two starts out of Miley or Chacin, whoever you determine is one in your rotation, I think I'd run Peralta out there to start the wild card game. Get him one time through the rope, one time through. Hopefully you get 3 innings. Get Burns to do the same thing, and then play it out however you play it out from the 7th inning on. in a perfect situation. And that way, whoever you feel is your best pitcher, Miley or Chacin, you get them twice guaranteed, game one and game four in that divisional round matchup. And then the other one would pitch game five if needed.
Every time that I've been around postseason series and teams talk about this or try it, though, where you try to, you know, save, quote-unquote save, your key guy,
right,
it blows up on you.
It could. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It absolutely could.
You
no doubt.
You have to, you know, you have to get there first. And I've been around enough postseason series where issues like this come up, and it always seems to bite you. So I believe it's far more likely that you go Chacin, first sign of trouble, you go to that pen. Maybe you even start with Josh Hader and go as far as he can go, and you try to get a lead. And you know, this team's formula has been, decent. Keep your team in the game type start from the starting pitcher. Try to score enough runs to get a lead by the middle of the game, and then close it out with that bullpen. That's been the formula, and I'm guessing that's more likely. And you know, the thing about Freddie Peralta is, I mean, it's an interesting idea. Like, he's been great when he throws strikes, but I think this was even in the realm of possibility, you'd be pitching him more. And last night was the first time we'd seen him all month, right?
And am I confusing him with somebody else, or hasn't Freddie Peralta had, when he has had troubles, they've come in the first inning, have they not, Adam?
Yes.
And you don't want to dig yourself a hole in a one game playoff to start things off.
Chase is the same way.
Yeah, and Chase Anderson's the same way as the, that's the problem. So that's been his bugaboo for a lot. Dig into the numbers. He has not been as effective this year, and he talks about just being inconsistent. And it was the other night he talked about, I sort of tried to drill down a little bit in terms of, you know, are we talking about mechanical issues like release point issues? And he actually talked more about the mental side of it, where he'll have a really good inning, you know, get this idea in his head like, okay, here we go. This is last year again. And then he'll kind of lose that feeling. So it's almost like a confidence issue, or he just doesn't have that good feel on the mound like he had for many of his outings last year. But again, I think I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think when you look at the numbers, it's not like he's had some horrendous season. I mean, he's been plenty good, and he's also been a guy who's been out there a lot. And this season with Nelson down and Davies down and Miley missing a huge chunk, there is something to be said for being a guy that's able to go out there and deliver innings consistently. And I Chacin, that's obviously been one of his biggest strengths too. There is value in that for what it does on the days that they're not on the mound.
If you look at Chase Anderson's numbers just for September at Washington, 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. The next start against San Francisco at Miller Park, 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, both earned. Then at the Cubs, 4 innings, 2 hits, no runs. But again, 4 and 5 innings, what we're talking about. And I'm guessing in the playoffs, it is going to be the same thing.
Yeah.
And then the last start against the Reds, gave up 3 runs on 6 hits and lasted 3 2/3.
Yeah. And the 2 hits that hurt him were very badly missed fastballs, basically right down the middle fastball.
And one ended up in a home run. Yep.
Yeah, the 2-run homer in the first inning was a big one. And then the other one was 0-2, if I remember right. So, they're making quick moves, and that's because they've got this 14-man bullpen out there, and Craig Counsell has been able to go to guys, and he's got enough relievers pitching well right now, a group that, Corbin Burns has worked himself into a pretty important middle-of-the-game role for this team. That's been a big development for them, with Taylor Williams sort of sliding back. And they've been able to navigate these games, play relatively well. That Pirates series loss, I know, was, a disappointing one at home. You want to win that series. But, they've won, 8 of 9 series now at this point after beating the Reds?
Yep.
And they have brought themselves to 9 games to go in a very different spot, I would argue, from last year, where guys, they were doing the bullpen day every 5 days. They were using Swarzak every day. They were putting a lot of pressure on the main guys in that bullpen. And this year, I think that those guys, as the team sits here on an off day, are in pretty good shape. Josh Hader hasn't pitched for a long while now. Jeremy Jeffress wasn't, He's gotten a little bit of a break on that homestand. Corey Knebel pitched a good inning for them yesterday, but you know, I don't think he's been overworked. So I think they are, you know, in that regard, in a pretty good spot going to this home stretch.
Adam, last thing for you, and I know it's an off day, so I know that there probably isn't an answer to this, but do we know anything more about Lorenzo Cain, Ryan Braun, and their injuries and when they'll be ready to return to the lineup?
We don't. I mean, Cain, the flight leaves at like 5 or 6 o'clock tonight to Pittsburgh. So Lorenzo Cain and Ryan Braun will be in there getting treatment today, and the hope was – I don't think Cain did anything yesterday except get treatment. So I think the hope was – you know, you do all the stuff they do with the that electric stimulation to the muscles, get blood back there, and hope that the 2 days of that solid treatment gets him back in the lineup Friday. I know he really wants to play, but you guys know the nature of obliques in sports and intercostals and ribcage and that stuff. One bad move when you're compromised, and it is a long-term, you know, you're out. And that is what they very much want to avoid. And when he started doing things, changing the way he was swinging the bat, that raised some big-time alarm bells, and that's why they got him out of there. So, you know, there's a chance he's in there Friday, but it's going to depend on how the treatment goes today. Ryan Braun, I would guess, the fact he's been pinch-hitting, I think says that it's, you know, they're being careful. They have other guys, Chris Granderson in particular, swinging the bat so well right now that you can play another guy and it's, you know, you're getting performance. I think they felt that way about Domingo Santana yesterday too. So they're just trying to, again, be careful because he's navigated this back thing so for so long that they sort of know how to step back and then get something out of him. So the idea, I think, with Ryan Braun is, I don't know if he starts Friday, but I would expect that after a couple of days off, he's, you know, much more available than he was yesterday.
That's Adam McAlvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. Find his work at Brewers.com, MLB.com. He's on Twitter at Adam McAlvey and on The Big Show every Thursday.
I'm sure you probably have, and this will probably be a great story at the end of the year, but Robbie and I discussed this earlier today. And if you really sat back and thought about all the things that either haven't gone right for the Brewers or players that are playing way worse than maybe they did last year, or guys that have been hurt this year, then looked at their win total number and said, how did this happen?
Cain and Yelich happened, I would say, off the top of my head.
It's crazy. Jimmy Nelson doesn't throw a pitch. Davies ends up getting hurt, and he wasn't the same guy all year long. Chase Anderson hasn't been the same guy all year long. Your closer gets hurt in the first month of the season, and you got to make do the best you can, and then he's not the same guy once he does come back. Second base was void for the most part. Travis Shaw, who I thought after last year was probably going to be a perennial all-star type player. Now, again, I don't want to get into the advanced stats, but if it's just common person looking at the numbers, isn't having the same year as he had last year until you get advanced stats, and then it says he is, other than batting average with balls in play, as has been pointed out to me. Moustakas, since he got here, was going well, and then he hasn't had a good month of September. He's been struggling. Braun hasn't been Braun for most of the year. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff. Pena isn't the same Pena as last year at the plate.
Steven Vogt's been out.
Yep, he's been out. It's just crazy to look at their win total and think of everything that kind of went wrong on them.
Well, I remember talking to you guys back in last winter, and we talked about the way that David Stearns was building this roster, and I think the way a lot of the sort of, you know, the Ivy League GMs, for lack of a better term, build rosters. It's about depth as much as anything. And you look at, you know, the Cubs with Baez and Russell and Zobrist and Schwarber, and you think, how are they going to play all these guys? And you look at the Dodgers with Chris Taylor without a position, a really good player without a position, and all the guys that they have, the moving pieces, so many outfielders. And then we got to the Brewers, and it was, how are they going to do this? Too many outfielders. And then they pick up the infielders, Moustakas and Scope, too many infielders. And then here they are at the end of the year, in a position, maybe not to win the division, but to at least get into the tournament and play that one crazy game to move on. And I think it's depth. And that's been the story of the rotation. It's been the story of the bullpen covering for Corey Knebel on the infield and the outfield. They've needed all the bodies that they brought in. And I think that it's I think you add this year's Brewers team to some of those other recent clubs. The Indians are in that list too. This is how teams are built now. It's no longer, you know, my dad always goes through the 1957 Milwaukee Braves, and you can name the player at every position. That's how it was when we grew up. You could name the Brewers all around the diamond. Well, that's not the way teams are built anymore, and I think the Brewers are, this is a year where they really benefited from that.
That's Adam McKelvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider. Adam, we'll talk again next Friday, my friend.
I got a Bob McKelvey reference in. I'm proud of myself today.
There you go.
Good job.
Hello, Bob. Your son says hi. Thanks, Adam. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 19.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.